Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 3-0 Take, where we talk all things Major League Baseball. Here's Kyle Corwin and Nate Reyes. It all starts right now.
Welcome back to the 3-0 Take, presented by SeatGeek. This is episode 424. I'll be your host, Kyle Corwin, and I'm here with my co-host, Nate Reyes. Nate!
This is it. This is one of the last times you're going to hear me as a non-honeymooned man. That's right. That's right. I'm getting out of here. Don't even care. Getting out of here. You get two more of me, and then you're just going to have to go. How much money are you setting aside? How much money are you setting aside for all the blown speakers that you're going to have to pay for all of our listeners?
Frankly, I'm not worried about it.
Are you stockpiling that at all?
When there's a moment worth booing, such as you announcing that you're heading out for a, what is it, 10-day long cruise?
8 days, but
8 days.
You got to include travel in there, so technically 10.
Included travel. 10 days missing from the pod, regardless.
Excellent.
That's worth a boo, and frankly, I don't care about the speakers.
I won't miss you. I won't miss anybody. I'm gonna be dodging pirates out in the open waters,
dodging cannonballs. It's gonna be quite an experience for you out there in the open sea.
That's right. I think I'm gonna find stuff to throw off my deck. You know what I mean? Do you ever do that when you're like way high up? You want to throw something off or like spit off just to see? I think I'm going to do that pretty much every morning, I think.
Hey, is it true that... No, that was debunked. The whole you can like kill somebody throwing a penny off the Empire State Building, that's debunked, right? We for sure debunked that. I don't think that's possible.
Sounds like in Mythbusters episode. Is that show still going?
Who knows?
It was a banger. It was a great show.
I think that was an urban legend. I think that was debunked, but just whatever you do, don't kill anybody while you're out there. All right.
We'll see.
Look, hey, right off the top here, I'm genuinely glad to be here talking baseball. You know, some days you get to it and you're just like, kind of doing this cause we need to, cause we gotta show up for the people. That's what we do. Not all the time, but, you know, there's those days. And I know it's early in the season, but genuinely excited to be here talking ball with you. But then you...
That makes one of just,
and then, yeah, then you just had to lead off with the fact that you'll be gone for 10 days. So it's fine. So
little yin and yang here. Packing, writing itineraries, checking in for crap really takes the wind out of you.
Well, let's talk some baseball, shall we? First world problems. Let's talk some baseball. Before we do that, though, as always, want to remind you guys to subscribe to the YouTube, subscribe to the podcast, specifically YouTube. That's as you well know, if you're a regular listener or if you're a new listener, that's something we're trying to build up right now, trying to get to 2,000 by the end of the year. Would greatly appreciate if you all could hit us with the subscribe. Again, as I always say, even if you don't watch your podcasts on YouTube, including ours, a subscription still helps. So go ahead over and do that now if you got a chance to do that.
Create a new email for your unborn child.
He says
child.
This every time. He says this every time we're trying to push something, whether it's our SeatGeek promo code 3-0-TAKE. I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. I'll leave that up to you, depending upon how dedicated of a listener you are. But a subscription would help on YouTube. So
do it.
Do it. Do it now. Look, I want to get into some Spencer Strider talk. Want to get into some Ipe talk. There's some beef between Dodgers, Padres. Jordan Montgomery did something big recently. Ooh. And it wasn't pitch because of this very reason that we're going to be getting into. Mets, City Connects have possibly leaked. We got some more items beyond that. But before we get into that, got a little trivia here for you. Wasn't planning on sharing this trivia with you or asking you about this trivia because I stumbled upon it in my note preparation just before we hopped on. And it was news to me, and I'm assuming it's news to you as well as the people listening. Do you know what the official score of a forfeited Major League Baseball game is? So if a team has to forfeit for whatever reason, do you know what the score goes in the books as?
Like you're saying, like the run score.
Correct. Yeah.
1-0.
No. Put some thought into it. Just don't throw numbers out there. Give me your best guesstimate.
4-0. I don't know.
9-0.
Why 9?
I have no idea. Maybe it's a run per inning. Couldn't tell you. But now you know. Feel free to share that at your next party or social gathering. You're welcome. News to me. Just found out today. I was, as they say, I was today years old. Spencer Strider.
As the kids say.
As the kids say. Spencer Strider will miss the rest of the season, the 2024 season, that is, after having surgery to repair the UCL. He avoided Tommy John, but he will have done the... Has he already had it done? Is he getting it done?
I think he already it's did it.
Did he? Okay. The internal brace surgery, which... Based on what we've heard over the last couple of years, I feel like it's becoming a more popular... Now, I'm not saying more popular than Tommy John, but in and of itself, it's becoming more popular, it seems, to pursue that course of action for these injuries. I know Trevor Story had that done last year. Or
what's the point of it?
Leading into last year.
Is it less recovery time?
Tommy John has a typical rehab period of 12 to 18 months, but the internal brace has allowed pitchers to return in as few as 9 months. So I think it's based on the severity of the tear / strain.
So the only reason is to basically try and get back for next year / maybe even opening day for Strider in this situation.
Let's say 9, because this would have been Strider's second TJ. Remember that.
Right.
Because that's been a topic of conversation, is a lot of these guys are coming in to their second, some even third TJ, which they talk about the success rate or the... Yeah. I don't know what the right word, would you call that like a success rate? I don't know the analytics or the data that goes into it, but they basically talk about how your odds of returning / succeeding / performing at a major league level goes down drastically with every Tommy John. So it's not, for those who are unfamiliar, it's not just like a plateau where it's like, oh, you can get one Tommy John. If you need a second one, it's fine. Like, no, yeah. Like it drops drastically. So say he comes back in 9 months. What is that? It's mid-April now. So I put him back like spring training.
Yeah, January, and February.
Got to ramp it up. Yeah, so that's a huge blow for the Braves. You know, obviously coming in as their ace, but it really seemed as though this year was going to be special. As we talked about in the Hot Takes and Predictions episode before the season started, Spencer Schrider was a big name. A lot of other people agreed they felt the same way about it. And, you know, coming in, two starts in the books. The strikeout numbers were up. So it just, you felt like this was going to be a year where the baseball world identified a guy who was going to, in fact, be a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked as though that was going to be the case. And we were able to, I think we were able to tell that even just two, three starts in.
Yeah. Officially cross off one name on my hot takes and predictions list. I had Spencer Schrider as the NL Cy Young winner. So first hit, battleship sank. Tough. Super tough. This, I mean, like, I think there is like this blind faith. Can't call it completely blind, but there is a lot of faith that Braves fans have in Alex Anthopoulos. And you can imagine there's going to be some type of addition to fill in this hole at some point in the season. I don't know the Braves farm well enough to say it's internal. I would go ahead and assume it's most likely some type of trade, but you can't trade for an ace. Like, you're not, there's no replacing him entirely. It's a tough blow, man. It's a real tough blow. I feel for Braves fans, but at the same time, like, I don't really, I don't know. It's hard to explain. They've been spoiled, you know, and I do feel bad for Quadzilla, because, I mean, that guy's a stud and he's fun to watch and he's good for baseball, and it is, it's kind of tough, but they still have a lineup they can hang. What I was thinking is how much did Max Fried's stock just rise? Said to be a free agent. This was already a big year. We've seen him lead this staff before, but if he really truly leads this staff now after this, that raises his number quite a bit. And it maybe pushes on some pressure for the Braves to potentially re-sign / extend him. I don't know. Interesting storyline there. And he's looked good to start the year.
Yeah. I've been looking for this. There was a graphic floating around, and you may have seen it. I can't remember where I saw it. Hold on.
What was he referring to?
Referring to velocity and how it was like the top. Did somebody send it to me? How the top velocities from the 2023 season, I think it was like 8 of the top 10 are out. Or
really,
like have gotten TJ or some sort of like internal brace procedure. And I cannot seem to find the list, but like, I think Grayson Rodriguez, was on there as like one of the final arms that were still healthy, I guess. But it's just alarming. It's really alarming.
It's alarming. We talked about this last episode. I think it's the quality of names, because we did talk about how like from what I could tell from the little research I've done, because you know your boy doesn't really research much, that the numbers haven't really changed over the last few years. This is right on par for what we've seen like 2018, 19, 20. But it's the quality of names. It's the league leaders that were their frontline starters that we're seeing go down for like big names, big teams.
I found it. It was a codified tweet or codify, whichever. Shout out Brendan like for Codify. Sending it my way. I think it's Codify. Fastest average four-seamer velocity last season from MLB starters with 500 plus four-seamers thrown. Bobby Miller, 99 miles an hour, out. Hunter Green, 98.3, still available. Sandy Alcantara, 98 miles an hour, out. Yuri Perez, 97.5, out. Grayson Rodriguez, 97.4, available. Spencer Strider, 97.2, out. Shane McClanahan, 96.8, out. Shohei Ohtani, 96.8, out. Garrett Cole, 96.7, out.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
It goes back to the conversation where this generation specifically has tried to get rid of old heads. They've tried to get rid of old way of thinking. They've tried to eliminate names and opinions of guys that have forgotten more about baseball than we'll ever know. And there's a number of older generational pitchers that have said, you got to pitch. You can't just throw. Not to say that the names on that list aren't pitching. But I don't know, man. I'd much rather have you stick around. It's kind of weird because you talk about like the injury prone position players, how, I don't know, you and I preach hard 90s. I like hard 90s. But you can see that, like, depending on the situation, you're down five, it's the eighth inning, and you roll over to the shortstop, and it's a super routine two-hopper, you're not going to see that guy busting it down the line. It's a semi-hard 90, but maybe he's taking that off. Pitchers don't do that anymore. They don't take any pitches off. They don't take anything off. It's 100% effort, 100% of the time. And now we're seeing what's happening because of it. We got to get back to spotting up, being a better pitcher, trusting location, trusting your defense to make plays, trusting contact, fighting for strikeouts constantly, driving your pitch count up, max velo to try and blow it by somebody. Hitters are going to adjust. But imagine a guy that like starts the game at 92. And then third time through the order, he's like, I got 96, actually. I got 97 for you. Hitters are going to time it up if it's just constantly 98. It's not that difficult for these major league hitters to figure it out. But if you're changing speed and time of when you're throwing that, emptying the tank fastball, I don't know. Well, there's a reason it worked for generations. There's a reason why we didn't see elbow injuries like this
at this rate
for this many players. It's just, I don't know. We got to go back to figuring out what we were doing before.
Another guy you can add to that list, not necessarily out for the season, but dealing with some arm issues, Bobby Miller, promising arm for the Dodgers, who was off to not too bad of a start, had 18 Ks through 11 and two thirds this season, over three starts, placed on the 15-day IL Saturday night by the Dodgers with right shoulder inflammation. So look, we're seeing a lot of names being put on the shelf, whether it be 10, 15, 60, a year, whatever the IL situation is, we're seeing a lot of names, like we talked about, all with varying injuries, varying severities. But at the end of the day, it just goes back to the conversation that we've been talking about for the last, I feel like, couple episodes at this point, as more and more names continue to pop up, is that, like you were saying, we got to get back to pitchers being able to pitch instead of just throw.
Mm-hmm.
We have to reshape the approach, the narrative surrounding velocity and what it means and what is required to be a good pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Or else if we don't, if nothing changes, you can run all the tests you want. You can run all of these studies like the Major League Baseball is doing. You can do all of that. But if the philosophy doesn't change, you're going to continue to see arms drop around the league, including top tier talent. And
yeah,
call me crazy, not great for baseball. So I'm hoping that Major League Baseball takes some initiative here, as well as, you know, the guys on the bump as well, but these organizations, especially yeah. in terms yeah. of what they're looking for, what kind of emphasis they're putting on different facets of pitching, and hopefully we can redirect this ship in the right direction.
Hit the nail on the head, my man.
Speaking of hitting the nail on the head, Ipe Mizuhara didn't do that very much when he was dropping his wagers. Can we talk about whether or not you still believe that Ohtani was involved?
Yes. Bring him on. There's no way. There's still this giant black hole of where did all my money go?
Okay, so
he's not
so
logging in. He's never looking at his account. He's never getting notifications. He's stop. Stop okay, telling me that one man ruled his entire life.
What I'm hearing you say is that. And look, I'm going into this with an open mind, because it's well documented on this podcast. Shout out our bonus episodes, 3-0 Changeups, where we talk non-baseball things in the offseason.
Which we will get
back
to.
Where we did a whole... We will get back to. We did a whole episode... Was it on conspiracies, like in general, or did we go? Or no, we did conspiracy. Like
I think
individual.
We did like yeah.
We did like individual conspiracies. So look, included in those conspiracies, certainly federal corruption mm-hmm. in regards to the United States government. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that there's no corruption in this situation. However, it's really hard for me to come to terms with the fact that there would be corruption with a Major League Baseball player as opposed to needing to eliminate a president who, oh, by the way, is the leader of the free world in John F. Kennedy. They're like two completely different things. And you could really draw the line down the middle there and say Shohei's on one side and pretty much any other geopolitical conspiracy is on the other side. I'm fully on board, and hopefully I don't get sniped through my window by some government official for saying this, but I'm fully on board with the fact that FBI, CIA, whatever, any of the three-letter agencies that you want to throw out there, I'm fully on board with the fact and the belief and proposition that they're corrupt and they get their hands into things and there's dirty money exchange. I get all that, but I just have a really hard time believing, again, I'll say it again, a guy that has a YouTube montage of him picking up trash around Major League Baseball stadiums was involved firsthand.
Why is that your gambling only criteria? Scandal. I don't care. If you picked up trash,
it's just,
I'm not like, saying I can't sit here and say that bettors aren't bad people. I'm not going to say bettors are bad people. I'm looking for something specific here. Here we go. So it was the actual like verbiage from whatever these hearings were from. It was evidence. I don't know. 19,000 bets, right? That's 25 bets a day on average. Here's where my little, you know, thinking cap goes. roughly ranging from $10 to $160,000 per bet.
And you said it was what, 19,000 wagers?
19,000 right? wagers between December 21st and January 2024, ranging from $10 to 160,000.
Totally 16 million, by the way. This was what was
during this period
stolen.
Total winnings of 142 million, total loss of 182 million, netting $40 million in loss.
I thought it was 16. Oh, it was
like winnings versus versus losses. But that's kind of how, I mean, you probably just was roll it, over with bookies.
Was it 16 that were, maybe? No, that was the initial. That was the initial number, I think. Yeah. And then it came out. That's
Here's
right.
my issue.
I think I even posted that 40 minutes.
Why place a $10 bet? How are you doing 25 bets in the day?
Yeah.
I want to know how many duplicate bets there were.
40.7 million, by the way. That was the.
I'd like to know the duplicates.
Explain to me that. Explain to me and the people who aren't degenerates. not saying you're a degenerate, but wow. Explain to us. No. Explain to me. Explain to us non-hardcore bettors or why, really
who,
bettors
who
at all.
Who places a $10 bet? If you're betting that hard, if you're going in that much, why do $10? That's what I bet.
But when you say duplicate, what do you mean?
25 bets in a day is insane. 25 bets per day is crazy.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out how many bets were, let's just say you take the Dodgers money line at 10 bucks, and then you take the Dodgers money line again later in the day, but you put 100 grand on it. Maybe Ipe was the 10 bucks. Maybe Otani was the 100 grand. Why as low as $10? Who has less money here? It's Ipe.
Sure.
Right? I don't know, man. It's there's too many. This is Swiss cheese of stuff.
There's too many holes in this.
Why do a $10 bet if you're having that much money, if you're using basically what seems like an endless amount of money in this account? Why go down to as low as 10 bucks? And what are you betting on to get 25 bets a day? There's not enough out there. A parlay counts as one bet. So are you taking money lines across the league, whatever league you're betting on? I don't understand it. I don't know. And how is it that the bookie's text was like, I know this is a cover-up. I've seen the news. I know what's going on.
Yeah, that was weird. That was wild.
Ipe's so, like, no. It's all me.
The report said on March 20th, 2024, after news broke that at least $4.5 million had been transmitted from Otani's account to Boyer's operation, who Boyer, we've mentioned him in previous episodes, was the bookie, I believe. Mizuhara texted him asking whether he had seen the media reports. The bookmaker replied, yes, but that's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand that it's a cover job. I totally get it. Mizuhara replied, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me.
I just don't believe that Otani had no knowledge. I refuse to believe that. I will never believe that.
But this goes
whether
back
he partook in the bets or not, I don't know. And I don't really care. I'm over it. Like, do you, Otani? But like, I refuse to say that he was completely in the dark for this long, for this much money. There's no way.
I mean, I'm not going to say that he was just complete. Like I would agree. I have a hard time believing that Ipe breaking the news in the Dodgers locker room in Korea was the first time Shohei had heard about this. I also have a hard time believing this, but I go back to my point, even with the results of this investigation, I think I still fall back on the belief that I think Shohei, and I think you kind of agreed with me in certain regards to this, but I think that Shohei was simply just a good guy caught in a situation where he thought he was helping out a buddy before it got blown way out of control, and then realized after the fact, oh shoot, or maybe not even after the fact, maybe in the process, whether it was him coming to the realization or somebody bringing it to his attention, oh shoot, definitely can't do this. How do we go about this now?
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I don't think he was completely in the dark.
I think it's Michael Kay said on his radio show that he thought it was kind of ridiculous that any other player during the investigation, before the Ohtani's been completely released of any wrongdoing or whatever, that he was allowed to play. No one would be allowed to play. It would be administrative leave for any other player. So, like, knowing that the MLB is going so soft on the situation, knowing that it's been completely swept under the rug in a PR standpoint, it just makes you, like, there's so many holes to this, dude. It's just...
Yeah, but that's... That, like, you hear all the time, like, oh, you know, life's unfair. That this is one of those scenarios where, regardless which side of the aisle you're on with this whole Shohei scandal, it was too predictable.
Oh, we knew.
If I recall, Wander Franco, once the investigation was announced, was placed on administrative leave, correct?
Within like 24 hours, dude.
Like, nothing had been determined yet. Like, the rumors had obviously circulated, and then I'm guessing it was brought to the attention of the league and the
agencies. He's still not even technically guilty yet.
Right. So there's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Administrative leave. Boom. Shohei Ohtani. Turns out it was $40 million stolen. Hey, get out there and go win a game for the boys in blue. Yeah. Like, it's that's the part I'm kind of on. It's not Shohei that I'm kind of on. It's the league. It's like,
yeah,
you could not be more transparent about your priorities right now and the value that you or the regard rather that you hold Shohei with. It's so blatantly obvious.
I'm with you.
And that's where I think the cover up kind of gets a little muddy. I don't know how much, if at all, these federal agencies are involved in any sort of cover-up. I don't think they care, but I think the league is doing everything that they can within their power to make sure that the blowback, the damage to Shohei's image, is as minimal as possible.
How's Wander Franco's investigation gone on for like 8 months, but Ohtani was cleared in a week?
Was it even a week?
They confiscated both phones. They read thousands of messages. They went through every ticket that the bookmaker has. And boom, Ohtani's clear. Get out of here, dude. It doesn't add up. And we're never going to get the full story. And it's frustrating. Not that I'm like sitting here rooting for Ohtani to go down. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
That's the thing.
I just want truth. I want transparency. And it's annoying.
There are far too many people out there like actively rooting for this to be on Shohei, like solely on Shohei, which I think is weird.
It is, frankly, weird. If you're a baseball fan, that's weird.
Yeah. And frankly, I feel that way just about any player that gets caught up in some sort of scandal until they're proven guilty, where it's like, man, I want this guy to go down for this. It's like, okay, we don't even know the results of the investigation. So what are you rooting? What are you then rooting for? Is it just because you don't like the guy? Is it because you don't like the team? So the number of Padres fans out there, to be quite honest, I haven't heard many Giants fans. I mean, I'm sure there are Giants fans out there pulling for Shohei's downfall, but Padres fans are the most blatant about this, where they just want, they want Shohei kicked out of the league and sent to Guantanamo Bay. It makes no sense.
Jealousy is a dangerous.
Oh my goodness. Clean it up, man.
Dangerous Clean thing it to up. Have. Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. I'm over like.
Yeah, you're done.
I'm over the story. I'm over no offense against passing, but like the tweet updates and like the just clickbaity stuff nature. That just completely clears and makes this so forcefully clear cut where everyone with a brain knows that it's not clear cut. And you're sitting here telling us that it is. I no one buys it. And I'm over that side of it. I'm not rooting for Ohtani to go down because I'm not an idiot. I love baseball more than any other individual or team. And I understand that a monumental generational figure being eliminated for a scandal like this would burn our sport down. So I don't want that by any means. I just want some clarity. Maybe after he retires.
You know how that stuff goes. Yeah. They'll come out with an ESPN documentary that's so like biased in its nature. The point of views that come out of that will be so like heavy leaning on one side versus the other. Those things, you never get the full story.
I know. I've been watching Homeland too much, man. It makes you just wonder what's going on. There's a lot going on behind the curtain we don't know.
A lot going on out there in the world, including talking about the Padres, a little benches clearing brawl, whatever that means anymore. That I'm done. I'm done with that term.
I want the ban. I'm ready for the ban. I'm ready for it to get banned.
Like ban the term or ban the action of it?
Ban the action. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us. It's embarrassing when other sports fans are like, what is this about? I'm like, I don't even know. Because you got hockey players that are like legit knocking teeth out of faces. And then we got our guys that are just like quiet when it's about to happen. And then as they're walking back to their dugout, and they have 15 other guys around them. Then they start yelling. Like, ugh.
Yeah, like they have literal terms for it in hockey. Like, I'm not a hockey guy, so forgive me if I'm wrong. But isn't it called a line fight when it's like right off the puck drop?
Yeah, I saw one last week where the whole both teams. The second
all
the
players,
puck drop. Go.
And the ref knew it right away. He's like, all right, you guys have fun. I'm out.
It's sick. I love that. If we're going to do it,
Gosh, man. Like, do and something.
Ode to that picture behind you, because that's doing it right there. That man does it. You throw punches, throw punches.
Shout out, Nolan. Yeah, I don't. Hey, thanks for pointing that out. I don't think I ever officially pointed that out. I don't know if they can see it on the live, but. Got a nice 16x20 auto of the Nolan Ryan bloody jersey pick.
It's clean.
Might be my new prize possession. Which also, side note, little tangent here.
Another one.
As a result of acquiring the 16x20, the 8x10 that was formerly on the shelf signed by Nolan Ryan may or may not, we'll see. May or may not be used as a random giveaway for YouTube subscriptions. I was thinking about it the other day. I thought, you know what? Who wouldn't like a nice 8x10 signed by Nolan Ryan?
I'll take it.
I know you would. Maybe, hey, if you subscribe. Are you subscribed to the YouTube channel, by the way? I've never asked you that. And
100%. Okay.
He's doing it right now.
Did this bench clearing thing happen yesterday?
Are you doing it right now? Yesterday. Are you subscribing?
No, I'm on Twitter. I'm on X.
Yeah, you talking about the little scuffle?
Yeah. Whoa. I just went to my main timeline and I saw us.
Live. Us on live. Shout out, looking at this.
Whoa.
That's wild, man. That's liveception.
Padres Dodgers? What should I type in?
Type in Jerks and Profar.
Okay.
Jerks and Profar. Yeah, dude, it was just weird, man. You got Gavin Stone, who was perfect through into, what was it, into the fifth, into the sixth. And you got Jerks and Profar thinking that he's getting thrown at.
Oh, that's what that was?
Have some awareness, man.
I saw that, and I think I, like, swiped away after.
Exactly.
And wasn't it a 3-0? It was a 3-0 count, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was count? A walk. Yeah, I don't think it was a walk, but it was like a 2-0, 2-1, I think. But I'm like, dude, have some awareness. And then he was quoted as saying after the fact.
That's what that was. I think it was because of the Will. I feel like Will Smith nipped that in the bud quick. He gives me that vibe. Like,
yeah, like
he's like he's low key, don't mess with me vibes.
Very much like he gives off Veritech vibes for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But after the game, they asked Profar if he thought it was intentional. He said, for a moment, I thought so, but he was throwing a perfect game, so he wouldn't do that. So it's like, okay, so then what is all this happening for?
I think it was the Will Smith chatter. I think it was the interaction there.
Lost the perfect game in the sixth on a leadoff walk to Tyler Wade. But
shout out Gavin Stone on the fantasy team, too.
It's just, I'm done with the nonsense, and I'm especially done with Dodgers and Padres fans, man. I tell you what, I'm all about rivalries, and I'm all about trash talk between this fan bases.
Awfully manufactured, doesn't it?
It's so intolerable.
Yeah,
the classic go tos of LMAO, little brother syndrome. LOL, this is your World Series. LOL, still won the series. LOL, rent free. I get that exists amongst other fan bases, but it's so blatantly obvious that episode 424, blatantly obvious. That's what we're going with.
Perfect.
It's so blatantly obvious that you two, in talking to Dodgers fans and Padres fans, it's so blatantly obvious that you both care way more about the other fan base than you pretend not to. It's so obvious, and it's pitiful. It's really pitiful. Because if you both are kicking each other and both throwing out jabs, then you're both losers. There's no true big brother in this situation. You would think it's the Dodgers, given their, you know, storied history and their tradition and legacy and all that. And you would think that their run of the West for the last decade plus would give them the upper hand. But they're acting like children, not the Dodgers, the fans, not all fans, a good amount of fans.
Too many fans.
Come on. If you're truly the big brother, then stop giving the attention to Padres fans. It's pitiful. It's embarrassing. And it's not a good look for a fan base who, let's face it, gets enough of a bad rap as it is, turning the parking lot into UFC cage matches. It's it's too much.
I've lost respect for the Padres since that like weird old group of dads were singing that song.
That's what's in. Yeah, how about that?
It's like that. I've lost all. It's all gone. I'm all done. I'm over it. Love your ballpark. Still kind of a Tatis fan, low-key. I'll come out and say that.
Oh, man. I'll tell you
I can't help it.
He puts one into the seats. You feel something.
Yeah. But I don't know, dude. It's just a... It's weird. It's weird when I don't know. It's like an aimless, directionless organization. And the fan base is just like going along with the ride and not realizing that they have their own issues. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. As like a Yankee fan, like, I just want my entire organization pulling the rope in the same direction. That's all I ask for as a fan. Let's pull the rope in the same direction. Don't lie to me. Padres fans are like so scatterbrained and worried about like what other teams are doing. And like, it's just like a status thing. You know what I mean? They're like that person on Instagram just constantly putting out stories. And you're like, you're just pushing through because you don't want to see them anymore. They're so worried about status.
Here you go. If you've ever seen that meme of Michael Phelps, it's like a motivational meme, but it's the picture of Michael Phelps swimming full speed ahead. And then I want to say it was like the guy representing France, I believe, in the Olympics that year. I think it was the year that the Olympics where Michael Phelps just went off. I mean, he went off in every Olympics, but it was the picture of Michael Phelps full speed ahead, and the guy in the lane next to him is like noticeably behind him, but he's looking over at Phelps, and the whole point is like, winners focus on winning, losers focus on, you know, other whatever crap. Else
other winners not winning other yeah
the thing is that's both of these teams and their fan bases. That's Dodgers fans and Padres fans. They don't care anymore about winning. They care about making sure that the other fan base knows about them and knows that they're there and they're present and that they're quote unquote rent free and all this other nonsense.
Super true. Insert Gen Z quote. What do you call that? Lingo, slang, terminology. No cap.
No cap. And that's on my mama.
You're just capping.
And you know what? I'm standing on business for real, for real. No cap.
Oh God, for real.
You best believe for real on God. Say no less. Cap.
Say less.
Say less, bruv. Say less. Yo, that's on business. For real.
Is that one? I don't think that's one.
No, that's absolutely standing on business. On business. For real. No cap. Look it up. No cap. Yo, what a transition. Speaking of standing on business, Jordan Montgomery said, hey, Scott Boras, freaking take a hike, pal. Good for you, man.
Start the trend.
Good for you. All right. So if you're unfamiliar, if you're unaware, Jordan Montgomery, who, as you know, signed very late, signed a 1-year, $25 million deal with the D-backs back at the end of March. He decided to, I'm just going to say it, fire Scott Boras. I originally had that in my notes, and then I'm like, wait a minute, is that the language I should be using? And in the official report on ESPN, it said fired Scott Boras. So I said, you know what? If they say it, I'm gonna go with fired. I'm not gonna go parted ways. I'm not gonna go mutually agreed to find another option. No, Jordan Montgomery said, thanks, but no thanks. You're washed.
It's excellent. It really is excellent. I love it. I'm excited. I hope this starts a trend.
I saw a tweet, and forgive me, I don't recall who said it, but it was just a banger of a tweet that said, it was something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember it verbatim, but it was like, my mom asked me if I did the dishes, and I just said Scott Boras. She looked at me and smiled. She knew they were washed. I'm like, that's where we're headed, man. That is the stage in the game at which we are at. Scott Boras is starting to lose his he was one of the Boras four. Montgomery was this offseason.
Yeah.
So starting to chip away at that. And I would venture to say that, like you said, I think a trend is about to unfold here. Because look, you can't you're messing with these guys' lives. And I understand that you're trying to get right. the most money, and that if you're able to do that, then you're helping them out. But right. you run the risk of jamming these guys up. And I mean, I'll touch on it here towards the end, but look at a guy like Blake Snell. You assume he's going to be fine, even though he's starting late. Has not looked good thus far through, I think it's two starts. So
yeah,
I think his clients are going to start looking at around the league and going, it's not worth it, man. I'd rather go in. I'd rather get a competitive offer and even make a compromise if I have to. But I'd like to keep my image intact, and I would like to keep my off-season and in-season rhythms intact by making sure that I'm, you know, starting the season on time with the rest of the league. So I don't know, man. I'm just really out on Scott Boras. I really am. And apparently so is Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah. I think there's, like, as these salaries start climbing, and I there's got to be players that look at it different ways of, like, what the money does and what the money represents. And, like, obviously being at the top of your game in your field, like, it is a representation of what you've done and what you're going to do when you get that big contract. When you're in a league-leading AAV status or length of contract status, but you're starting to see guys that, I don't know, that maybe there is this flip of a switch of, like, well, maybe money isn't everything, number one. Number two, like, maybe other factors have to start coming into play, right? Otani with this crazy deal with everything deferred. You talk about how, like, Bryce Harper is, like, fallen in love with the city of Philly. No opt-outs in a 13-year deal or whatever it is. There's other factors into this, and it just seems to me like Scott Boras is so about maximizing dollar amount. And there's, like, this manipulation of his clients saying, well, you deserve more, so I'm going to find you more. And maybe Jordan Montgomery starts this snowball effect of, like, these other players that maybe will feel similarly and say, you know what, like, maybe team success, maybe location for my family, stability, consistency are bigger factors than whatever this dollar amount is that Boras is seeking. And I can't help but want to give, you know, Jordan Montgomery a big pat on the back for this decision, where it's for sure against the trend. And of the four names, I mean, you could argue that, like, I don't know, I feel like Cody Bellinger would be the bigger pissed off one of the crew. You know what I mean? As far as upside and what he's done in the past and arguably the most talent of that group, I would say that's probably one of the bigger disappointments. So, I don't know, man. I'd like to see a couple more names come out and say I'm moving on. And I'd like to see other agents come into play. And I'm sure GMs would love to see other names come into play. Saying, hey, I want to deal with people that are, like, that are humans, not just, you know, money-driven vampires. That's pretty on point, isn't it? Scott Boras. Money-driven vampire.
Well, that's the thing. Is your the point you made about Scott Boras being a guy that identifies or perceives the value that his client has and said, you know what? You deserve more money. I'm going to go find you more money. Look, I don't know the guy, but I think it's safe to say that Scott Boras is not that altruistic in terms of his motives.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is he goes out, finds his client more money. He's getting a greater cut of that money.
Right.
So as idealistic as it would be to sit here and say, well, you know, Scott Boras is, you can't hate on the guy because he's just looking out for his clients. He's trying to maximize their value. It's like, nah, at the end of the day, his job, what pays him,
right,
and what increases his pay is increasing the value or the money, the dollar amount that he brings in for his clients. So it's,
we talked about how like it's like this super weird terms that he has too. You know what I mean? Like he's requested to be a part of every press conference with his players, and he has to be sitting up next to his, like pushing the wife down a seat so he can sit closer to his client and be in the frame. It's just, it's weird, man. It's weird mentality. It's weird actions. I think it's pretty obvious that GMs are fed up with it. It's kind of cool to see that players are getting a little fed up with it. And maybe I'm just putting this out there. I would love to see Soto go in a different direction. Save some money this offseason for his contract.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is not an offseason that I think Juan Soto, I mean, maybe he's got the wool over his eyes. Maybe he he doesn't realize it, but this is not an offseason that you want to freaking foul up if you're Juan Soto.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. This cannot be a repeat thing. And I don't know if other players, if it's a domino effect and other players start bailing, who knows what that means for potential clients that haven't hit their biggest free agency yet.
Not good for old Scotty B. Met City Connects. It appears as though we have a leak.
I love a good old leak.
And I will say, we've said it on here before, I'll say it again. I don't think we've ever had a leak come out where it wasn't the jersey that ended up being the final product.
True.
So if that trend holds true, if you just Google, if you search on social media, Met City Connect, as we're talking about it, you can pull it up. You'll see what we're talking about. But it's, I'm not a fan. I'll just say that. And look, I didn't want to make this segment a real long one. I know we've talked about City Connects at length before, and frankly, there's some people that listen who are like, okay, we get it. You guys talk about jerseys a lot. And look, I understand. I agree. I will say, though, our talk about jerseys recently has been more on the Fanatic side and less about these City Connects or alternates or whatever. It's more about just the fiasco that is Fanatics.
Right.
But it's further confirmation that the City Connects trend, the concept is dwindling. It's fading so fast.
It's dead.
The fall off is so real. Like, we're just not seeing good uniforms anymore with these City Connect releases. And this is one of those uniforms. I don't understand. And their teasers on social, the Mets were hinting at purple. Like, there was a lot of purple in their teasers. So
I couldn't tell. Is that purple or pink? Is that, that's purple?
It looks like the accents, the pictures that I'm looking at, which, by the way, I think I commented on our post, but tell me that's not like the great value Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That's Walmart brand Patrick Mahomes. Very, ordered, very strange. You ordered
Pat Mahomes on Wish.
Yeah. on Temu or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ordered from that, looks by like the way?
Temu?
I haven't. It's kind of tempting, though. Like,
I've
seen some hits on there. I've seen some hits. I've seen obviously some where they're just the people get garbage, but I'm like, what if you luck into one of those hits? I don't know. Anyway, the picture that I'm looking at, it looks like a purplish gray. It just looks like a very dull color with, again, purple accents. Very like old timey kind of font on the front, NYC. It's uninspiring, and you just know they're going to make these lame connections. We just talked about this. They reverse engineer these uniforms. They go out, they make a jersey like, oh, that looks fire. And then they're like, how can we make the connections to the city now? Because that's the only way that I believe that they could do this, because there's no way that you could have such stretches. Like, they're reaching hard to connect these elements of these City Connect jerseys to the city. And I don't know what they're going to try to pull for this one, but I'm so done with these.
I'm looking at the picture you tweeted out. Is Patrick Mahomes wearing sweats in this picture?
Yeah. Right? I'm 99% sure.
It's not like a part of the uniform, right?
No. Okay. I'm 99% sure, which part, like, honestly kind of worries me because I'm like, what are we not seeing? Like, is this, is it a continuation of the jersey color that we're seeing? Are they going to drop us? Are they going to drop some more black pants on us? Where are we headed with this? And it kind of worries me. But again, at this point, I don't really care. So I'm not like genuinely worried. I'm out on these. And talk about it. If this ends up being another, in fact, garbage City Connect, it's the Mets. So
yeah, like whatever.
Very fitting. Very fitting.
The hat looks stupid. It's the original logo. You just threw a circle around it with some writing.
I gotta be honest. I read that was an alternate. I read that's like a team store kind of hat. The actual hat, I believe, has the logo on the hat, maybe in purple, might just be in orange, but it has the, what is that? The Queensbridge.
Yeah.
Is that the name of it? Queensbridge? Am I remembering that
Queensboro.
Right? Queensboro Bridge. Yeah. Across like, think above the brim, like across the front.
King of Queens song.
Ah, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I heard that is not the hat, but that the on-field hat is featured elsewhere.
I actually don't really hate the jersey that much. It doesn't excite me enough. If you drop this as like a, hey, the Mets alternate jersey, but like the City Connect thing, I'm over, I'm done with it, I'm out, I'm fully out, I'm all done. I hate it. I'm over it. Half of them suck. This one, you know, like if you were playing MLB The Show and you were like, hey, let's play the old timers day where they like, you know, both teams are wearing old timer stuff. I wouldn't hate this one.
Yeah. But like I had people hitting me up in the comments and in the replies being like, you don't think this is fire with like a clown emoji? I'm like, okay. Pal,
I think it's okay. Let's
dial fire. It back. Let's not hype these things up as if they're the greatest of this series.
Yeah.
Or just in general. That stop fooling yourselves. These aren't that good. But I will, to your point, there were a surprising number of people that were like, yeah, I actually don't mind them. I'm like, how do you not mind these? I don't know. I think I've just come to expect them to be garbage. So maybe there's an inherent bias up front that
it's possible.
I can't look at them clearly. Without
it is possible.
That, I don't know. I'm done talking about it though. I'm out. I'm out. What does it matter? They're probably not even going to have the uniforms delivered on time once they're released. So why does it even matter? Well, it doesn't even matter. Let's see here. Closing the book. Wrapping up here. Don't want to get too deep. Closing the book. Jackson Holliday recorded his first hit today. Jackson Holliday. Started off a little slow there.
Now Maddie Holliday can go home now.
Speaking of which, don't know if you saw any of the videos that came from it, but I think Maddie Holliday and Jackson's wife were sitting in the Ripken seats today. Mm-hmm. And they got the hit. Cal Ripken like looks over and they're like, he's like high five in the family, like looks over and high fives Jackson's wife. And I'm like, this is like a 90s baseball kids like fever dream. Like Matt Holliday is sitting next to Cal Ripken watching a 20-year-old son and his wife, who people thought were his mom. They said on the Orioles broadcast, they're like, oh, look down there. Mom and dad looking real happy after Jackson gets his first hit. It was his wife.
Tough.
Jackson Holliday is married. I don't know. Yeah, apparently not as much people knew that as I thought. But Yeah, that's...
This is weird, and it also makes me feel very old that I'm... Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Just crazy. Keeping it in Baltimore, though, Colton Cowser, you and I were talking about a little before we hopped on. White hot. The milkman, as he's being labeled. 4 homers in his last 4 games. He is swinging a hot stick.
Good beard, too.
A great beard. And the memes, they're a-flowing. A lot of dairy, a lot of cows.
It's good.
A lot of milk.
That's good.
And I don't know if you saw my tweet, but maybe making the proposition to bring back the Cal Ripken Got Milk campaign, the ad campaign. And then somebody was like, hey, let's run that with Colton. Like, I was just resurfacing that ad campaign just because, you know, a lot of milk on the brain now with Colton Cowser. But somebody's like, why don't they just reshoot that ad campaign with Colton? And I'm like, that's a fabulous idea.
I'd say give it the rest of the year. Maybe you do that next year. What?
I disagree. You got to do it while you got to strike all the iron's hot.
Let him establish himself a little bit before he starts recreating Cal Ripken moments.
But if you build, it's an ad. It was an ad. We're not recreating like on-field moments. It's literally a commercial with the milk mustache.
Where do you think we were in time where the switch got flipped that it was like, hey, maybe we don't need to drink milk that much. Maybe dairy like isn't the greatest thing to consume. You know what I mean? Because as a kid, that was like shoved down our throats. Advertising, milk, yeah, drink dude. Milk. Milk's great for you. It's good for your bones, strong bones, blah, blah, blah. That was, we were force fed that. And then all of a sudden we flipped this switch where it was like, maybe ease off a little bit on the dairy intake.
I'm glad you mentioned that. The literal Cal Ripken ad that I tweeted, it's just for milk, which is a point I'll get to shortly in just a moment. The Cal Ripken ad said, it's a picture of Cal sitting there with a bat in his hand. He's holding just a plain Jane glass of milk. He says, with all the milk I drink, my name might as well be Calcium Ripken Jr. Really, I'm a huge milk fan. Besides being loaded with calcium, there's nothing like it when it's ice cold, which is why I drink the recommended 3 glasses a day. Dude. And as you probably guess, I'm not one to miss a day. Milk, where's your mustache? 3 glasses of milk a day? I would evaporate off the face of the earth if I had 3 glasses of milk a day.
RIP my plumbing. If I did.
Oh.
Stomach hurts just hearing that.
Oh my goodness. But
I don't think I've had a full glass of milk in, I don't know, maybe 15 years. I couldn't even tell you the last time.
Dude, if I went to have a full glass of milk, I would probably have to preface opening the fridge by saying, well, I hope I'm prepared to ruin the rest of my day because I'm out of commission at that point. It's not good for anyone involved.
Heartburn already.
But my point about the whole like milk thing, I don't feel like this got talked enough. And I know we're talking like a lot about milk. I wasn't anticipating talking about milk this much. But somebody, hold on, I got to find it here. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I put out that tweet and I was like, with the milkman, Colton Cowser and Fuego, there's no better time to break out the Calvin Milk ad campaigns. And then somebody quote tweeted and said, Cowser side, can we talk about unhinged this entire ad campaign was? And then it reminded me of a tweet that I had seen like a while back. It was just like some meme floating around on Instagram or something. But the guy, Kyle Plant Emoji, tweeted, still not over the fact that there was a whole ass ad campaign for years promoting milk, just milk, not a brand of milk, just the concept, the idea of milk. And when I saw that, it took me back to when I was a kid. And I'm like, who did I think was running this campaign?
Right. Like, what was that about? Why was that a thing? What were we doing?
Was like the government behind this, like trying to get people to.
I'll go get the foil right now.
Wow. I don't understand. Now, again.
Maybe that's what's wrong with us.
Maybe it is. You couldn't pay me to have 3 glasses of milk today.
At all.
Much less much less 2,632 days worth of three glasses of
milk. The last time I had milk was dunking Oreos into it. And when I was done with the Oreos, I just poured the milk down the drain.
Yep.
I was not going to drink that.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen notched his 300th career home run today. Love to see that.
Very good Hall of Fame. The very good Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Very Good.
The Hall of Very Good.
The Hall of Very Good. I mentioned earlier, Blake Snell, when we were talking Jordan Montgomery and guys who have not responded well to a late start. Blake Snell, his last, shout out Jason Stark on Twitter. He said Blake Snell's last seven starts as a Padre, 5 earned runs. Blake Snell's first 7 innings as a Giant, 10 earned runs. Mm. 7 starts to finish out the season last year, 5 runs, first 7 innings, not he games.
He did have a pretty rough start last year to the year. So, who knows? Maybe he turns it on.
I'm just saying. His last outing, 4 innings pitched, 6 hits, 7 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 Ks, 78 pitches. Just saying. Somebody that's not, however, worried about a slow start, Marcell Ozuna, tearing the cover off the ball. And it was actually requested that I include Marcell Ozuna in the notes for today's episode because it was mentioned that he's not getting the love he deserves. Understandably so. I had seen that this was, I don't know if this is accurate. Again, Twitter's unhinged. Don't know how much there is, how much accuracy there is to this, but apparently their tweet, Major League Baseball's tweet about Ozuna today was like the first tweet about Ozuna in like over a year. I think I saw.
Ooh,
maybe longer. Couldn't tell you. So if that's accurate, I mean, I guess the point stands that he, yeah, maybe hasn't getting the attention he deserves, but he is tearing a cover off the ball, tied.
Let's be honest. I think a lot of Braves fans went a while without talking about him too. So
yeah, but
it's
a little
weird for all of them to just come to his defense.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. But I think now they're like, yeah, Ozuna, that's our guy.
Hated him for like a year.
Very strange. Very strange.
Yeah.
Anyway. But again, tied for most home runs in baseball after a 7th home run today. He's tied with Tyler O'Neill, who already mentioned episode prior, having a heck of a start to his own season. So very interesting names to be atop that race this early. But we'll see how that pans out for those names. Lastly here, before we get to our grand finale, promise, we're almost done. Wanted to get your thoughts on the Nestor move today.
Pump fake?
Yeah. What the heck was that? What are we doing?
Okay. I was not a fan. And I think he paid for it as well because the start was not good. I hate it. I mean, I understand the drop down, occasional like sidearm stuff. That's kind of cool. The occasional like different hitch, because you see certain starters doing that now.
Sure.
Like different little hit, like a little bit of a pause that I get. I'm not a fan of the pump fake. I don't even know if it's legal. They said that on the broadcast too. They were like, I don't even know if he's allowed to do that.
I mean, how could it? I saw a lot of people.
No one on base, obviously. Like, so can't balk.
Yeah. But I'm like, how could it not be legal? Like, did they outlaw the old timey wind up from like the early 1900s? Like, could you do that if you wanted to?
I think you could, probably from the
wind up.
That windmill.
Because
if you
can do that, that's in theory, that's no different than what Nestor did today.
Yeah. I'm over it. Like, you're only allowed to do this if you're doing well and you're not doing well.
Yeah.
You're creeping very much into the Jeremy Lin category, and I'm not excited about it. Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's tough. Nestor.
The lightning is escaping the bottle quickly, rapidly.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. All right. Look, wrapping up for good here. I had the idea, I ran it by Nate. I want to start wrapping up each episode where we share a just a, it could maybe be related to what we talked about, but really it's just kind of like an opportunity for us to share a one-off take, maybe something we've been stewing on, maybe something we got a rather strong reaction to, maybe from that day, from that week, or just a random thing that we're thinking about that's, you know, maybe baseball related, typically baseball related, maybe not. And I ran it by this weekend and thought maybe we could roll that out today. So with that said, do you have something that you've brought to the table for today?
I do. It's kind of spicy. I didn't mean for it to be this spicy.
Before you get into that, I think we're going to turn it over to you guys. We're going to need a name here for this little,
segment thing.
Gonna need some help with that. So feel free to think on it and let us know. We're gonna let the wind take it.
Are you ready?
What do you got, man? Drop it on me.
Seattle Mariners are ruining Julio Rodriguez. I don't know what's going on up there. I'm hating it. Because I was excited a few years ago. I saw that there was this corner that they were starting to turn. And I know it's early into the season, but I don't really care. Offensively, it's atrocious. Pitching, they're middle of the road. Offensively, they're third to last in OPS. Third to last in average. Tied for third to last in home runs. Tied for third to last in runs scored. Julio Rodriguez, 15 games, 21 strikeouts, a 441 OPS right now. I don't know what's going on. I watched a ton of talent and this superstar in the making at the Home Run Derby, and it's just crashing and burning. And I'm not saying it's solely because of him. I think it's this aimless organization. I think this team that just continues to do weird stuff and be satisfied with like a wild card run at the end of each August and September. I'm over it and I don't like it and I feel bad for the kid. And I think it's an organizational thing. So yeah, that's what I'm going to throw at you. I think the Seattle Mariners are I think they're ruining / wasting Julio Rodriguez.
I don't know how to tell you this, my friend. I kid you not. You just went into that you dropped a take. It was certainly spicy. I'll give you that. But I switched back from my notes to Twitter real quick just to make sure nothing happened in the last 30 minutes we were talking.
Did he just hit one? What?
The top tweet, I'm not joking. It's the literal top tweet on my timeline right now. The Cubs literally ended the game against the Mariners by picking off Julio Rodriguez at first. So I'm sitting here watching this clip of Julio. Ooh,
that makes me feel a certain way.
Getting nabbed at first to end the game. Meanwhile, Nate's over here just preaching. The Mariners are ruining Julio Rodriguez. There's just some comedic poetry to that. That's
all. I like but that.
To your point, in a grander sense, sans getting picked off to end today's game. I'm kind of with you, man. There was that corner that you're talking about that they were turning. I remember it. I was like, all right, now yeah. We go, Seattle.
Right.
And it just, and not, I'm not like writing them off for 2024 on April 14th. Anything can happen with the Mariners. Maybe they do turn that eventual corner, but it seemed like it kind of fizzled out a little bit. And you know, it's tough to see a guy like that be dealt that reality, but you know, it's still somewhat early, but I better right the ship soon.
Just saying, just something to watch out for.
For me, look, I was bouncing between a few ideas of something I wanted to start off with. Some were maybe player specific, like yours. A couple ideas I had were team specific, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to kick this thing off talking about something that I've expressed passionately before that I still stand behind. There is not a single problem referring to yourself as we when talking about your favorite team. There is not a single problem with that at all.
Pop off, King.
Amount of money that we spend as fans, the amount of time that we spend as fans, the energy that we expend as fans. I'm going to say we. Yes. When the team wins the World Series or the championship for whatever sport you're following, we won the championship.
Yes.
We, you go into next season, we are the reigning champs.
Yes.
Yeah. You bet I'm going to say that. Okay. What sparked it was I saw the Guardians taking a major L. I mean, they won the game today, but on Twitter, they posted the result. It was a walk-off today against your Yankees.
Mine, yes, us.
Your Yankees, and somebody, what was the caption? Like, the Yankee fans are about to drop their excuses below or whatever, and then somebody commented, some Yankee fan dropped in and was like, they said, and we won the series though. And then Cleveland comes back and hits him with "we" in quotations, as if to say, like, who's we?
Yeah.
Guardians, congrats on the dub. You couldn't be more wrong here. I'm absolutely going to refer to, I'm going to use the term "we" when referring to my favorite team.
Daily.
Without a prop, like, without issue.
No hesitation here.
And if you disagree, you're wrong. I don't say that always. I don't say it often, really. But I stand behind it. If you disagree with the fact that I'm gonna say "we" when referring to my team, you're wrong. Yeah. And I hope you know that.
I have a permanent marker on my body. It's in my blood, baby. You already know. It's us. It's we. Fully on board. Good for you. That's a hot start to whatever this segment's going to be called. Insert segment title. Come on, listeners. Give us something good. Give us something that makes sense. Think of our name. Think of us.
Think of what we do.
Be creative. I'm not being creative right now. I'm leaving in 3 days. You be creative. You rate, review, subscribe. Can't wait.
You say you're leaving for 10 days one more time, and I'm going to boot you off this podcast. You're lucky we're wrapping up. That's all I got. I'd say we've been wrapping up for like the last half hour. We're actually wrapping up. That's all I got. You got anything else for the people before we get out of here?
On God, fam. No cap.
No cap. And that's on business for real.
Say less.
Say less, fam.
Don't go chasing curveballs.
For real, for real, for real. On business. We love you all. And as always, looking forward to talking more baseball with you guys soon. Until next time. Stay filthy.